I'm going to read the entirety of chapter 11, so I'll do the best I very can to give it the justice it deserves. But yeah, if you're ready, please find Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. He has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he came of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. They were encircled for 7 days. After they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she'd received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting the deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, and yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And may God bless the reading of his precious word to us this morning. What an incredible closure to this whole series is to just consider the whole chapter in of itself. Such a powerful reminder, the realness of Christian faith comes and shines like a lighthouse into a dark world right out of that chapter. And this morning, as we consider Hebrews chapter 11, we recognize that Hebrews chapter 11 has a whole precious idea that we would call, if we were in Bible college, the big idea of not only Hebrews, but it somehow embraces the big idea of the whole New Testament and indeed the Old Testament itself. And the question is, what is the big idea of Hebrews chapter 11? And the answer is simply that faith, real, true Christian faith, thrives in action. Faith is an action word. And it is not dependent on the situation that is around us. It is not dependent on whether we are being overwhelmed, being persecuted, being treated tragically and awfully by the world itself. Faith is not reliant, thank the Lord, on the outward circumstances that we find ourselves as Christians in the world in which we live. But faith is an action word that comes from the very word of God itself. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Just this morning, I received a message from a friend of ours that Judy and I were at college with, and who lives in a very wild area of Zambia in Africa. And she was saying, sadly, that last night a leopard had come into their area, their immediate home area. And in fact, a few weeks ago, the same leopard had looked inside the house at the door, but it hadn't come through the door. And Jenny had commented on that. It was unusual for a leopard to come that close, but knew not to come inside into the home and moved away. The leopard is a very beautiful animal, very beautiful wild animal, but is also a very dangerous animal, and you have to be very careful of leopards. Well, in a way, the Bible talks about the devil sometimes being like a prowling lion. It could have just as easily said the devil could have been like a prowling leopard who has claws and is very dangerous. Well, last night the leopard came back again, and sadly, the leopard took at the door Jenny's pet cat called Molly. Molly was trying to get in at the door, but the door was closed, and the leopard actually took the cat. And in a way, Hebrews chapter 11 is saying to us that Jesus is the door. And not only is he a door, he is the open door. But in order to go through the door, we have to have received the gift of faith. Faith that comes from hearing and hearing through the word of God. Because in a way, the devil is like a prowling leopard, a prowling lion. And we are like the cat that needs to go through the door to be safe, that needs to enter the protection of the Lord. And one way we do that is we come to the Lord in faith and ask him to be our Savior. Another way we do that is we enter the church. The Bible tells us the church is like a family, but it's also like a home. It's a place of protection. And that's why it's important that we enter the church and become members of the local church. There's a protection for us from the prowling leopard. The door is Jesus Christ. We enter through him. But we need to put faith into action. We can't just understand it. We need to act on it. So we see, firstly, faith is an action word. We saw that very clearly in the story of Daniel, where the three would not bow to the statue. But because of their faith in God, they knew that their faith called on them to have a different kind of action to everybody else. The action of the true Christian in the world in which we live today has to be a different kind of action to what everybody else is doing. And when we trip up and make mistakes and fall, as we do, for the Bible says no one is without mistakes or sin, then we come to the Lord and we ask his forgiveness. But one thing we do is we get up and we stand when others bow at the statue of the world. We don't join them. We stand apart from them. Faith is an action word. It is also a word, and it is part of the big idea of Hebrews chapter 11. It is a word, and faith itself is centered not in action alone, but action that is rooted in the word of God. See, some might say, well, I have faith in that person to save me, or that politician to help me, or that doctor to lead me. And there's nothing wrong in benefiting from expertise and those who are good at what they do. But the faith we're talking about in Hebrews chapter 11 is a faith that is centered on the word of God itself. Faith comes from hearing, hearing from the word of God. You see, it is only by and through the gift of faith that comes to us through God's love that we can know what Jesus has done for us, and that we can believe in our heart that Jesus died for us on that cross, and that we can be saved. But it is an action that is based on the word of God itself. And then thirdly, we see that faith is strengthened when we believe God's word. And when we do not look at outward situations or allow our emotions to dictate how we respond, we might be going through a valley of depression, or a valley of overwhelming grief, a valley where circumstances have crushed in on us. And we might be overwhelmed by emotions and not feel like we are on the mountaintop with God. But faith is not about our feelings. Faith is centered in God's promises in the word of God. And then we see that faith, most importantly, is theologically correct. We see that story in Cain and Abel, don't we? That Abel understood this one truth, that there can be no forgiveness of sins and engagement of God without the shedding of innocent blood, the lamb that Abel bought, was acceptable to God for that reason. Cain did not understand that. And so we see that faith has to be theologically correct. Sometimes we do things where we believe we're doing something in faith, but we haven't understood the truth of the Bible, and we do something that is not what the Bible is calling us to do, but we think we are doing it. Judy and I knew a lady in our youth group back in our Bulawayo days, who then as a sixth former, I believe, in her school, decided to jump from a high second floor balcony to show and demonstrate that she had faith in God enough to protect her. And she crashed into the ground. Unfortunately, she didn't kill herself, but she was badly, badly injured. And you've got to ask, why would she do that if she understood even the fact that the very same temptation came to Jesus, and and Jesus said to the devil, I will not cast myself off this high building. I trust all the whole word of God. She did not know that. She did not understand that faith comes from a important understanding of the whole word of God. Faith must be theologically based, theologically correct. Otherwise, it is dangerous. So we see that without the shedding of innocent blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. And we see that that truth connects Hebrews chapter 11 to the great truth of both the Old and the New Testament, that is only by and through the blood of Jesus on the cross that we can be forgiven and receive salvation. If you believe in your heart that Jesus died for you and that he is risen, then the Bible says you shall be saved. That door will be open. You will be able to rush through that door into God's protection when the leopard comes to chase you. Hebrews chapter 11 is that sermon that says that we can know God through faith, and that faith is an active word. And in that sermon, there are three deeply important truths as we close this passage today, that are revealed. In the Bible College, we call it exegesis, the revealing, the digging out of the ground, the gold or the diamonds from the clay, exegeting the truth. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the verse that I think shines light on the whole purpose of the chapter, if it were a wheel, chapter 13 would be the hub of that wheel, by which the rest of Hebrews chapter 11 turns, the great Hebrews lesson on faith. And we see this in that verse, that firstly, to die in faith is critical to the believer. I'll say that again. To die in faith is, and faith being in Jesus and what he's done for us, to die in that faith is critical to the believer. We have another friend, a husband and wife, who shared so much with us in the early days and who have renounced their belief in Jesus. And we trust and we hope and we pray that this very special couple will come back to the understanding and the faith. But I shudder to think if they were to have a car accident, sadly, or stay with their new position of secularism and I think Buddhism or New Ageism that they've adopted, that if they go into eternity with that holding that they have now adopted, there's a sense in which they've rejected what Hebrews chapter 11 is all about. There's a sense in which they've rejected that verse in 13, which says these great heroes of the faith, they died in their faith. It's critical that when we come to die, we die believing and trusting Jesus, for there is no other way of salvation. Firstly, to die in faith is critical to the believer. Secondly, we see in verse 13 that to die in faith, receiving God's promises, even though they may still be unfulfilled, is okay. I look and I long for the day of a great overwhelming revival that the Bible tells us will precede the return of our Lord Jesus in the last days. The Bible tells us that even in Israel and around Jerusalem, there will be a massive turning and revealing of God and a revival like probably the world has never seen, in a way preempting, but also positioning the church for the coming back of the Messiah in glory. But that is what I believe will happen. That is what I trust will happen. I believe with every fiber of my being that that revival will break out upon the earth. But it may be that it doesn't happen before the Lord calls me. And that's okay. That's what Hebrews 13, chapter 11, verse 13 is saying, that to die in faith, believing and receiving God's promises, even though they may still be unfulfilled, that is okay. That is what has happened right through history with the great giants of faith. That God may have spoken to us and revealed to us that he is to do something and called us to begin an amazing work for him. And we may not see the fullness of that work or the fulfillment of that work, but in faith, I trust. And I might die not seeing the fulfillment of it, but that's okay. And then thirdly and lastly, that same verse 13 says that to die in faith, having only a distant glimpse of the far horizons of heaven, is to die a life well lived. I'll say that again. To die in faith, having only a distant glimpse of the far horizons of heaven, is to die a life well lived, a life of faith. We see a picture of that with Moses. When Moses had wrestled with God, got angry, God had said, look, because of your anger, you cannot cross over into the promised land. Everything you have done is to bring Israel to the crossing point to enter the promised land. But in his grace, God said, Moses, I'm taking you up to a high mountain. And from that mountain, I will show you in the distance the land of Canaan, the promised land, the land where the people of God will be going. And in a way, it's a little bit like that with us. When we may be feeling in a valley or a bit overwhelmed, or we don't understand what is happening, and it seems that persecution, as we pray today, is everywhere around the world, and that the church is struggling in so many places, yet victorious in Christ. That sometimes God gives us that glimpse through the Word of God itself of what heaven looks like, of what heaven will be like. We can look through the open door of Christ and see through to the other side. And that if we die in faith, looking to those distant shores, well, then we are in good company, Hebrews chapter 11 says, because it says that is how the giants of the faith died. They died with a glimpse of what was to come. And we will be in good company. And so let us hold Hebrews chapter 11, the big ideas of Hebrews chapter 11, let us hold them close. And let us die well. Let us die in faith so that we too can in some way be included and walk through the door into the safety of our heavenly home. May God strengthen our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. In reflection of the great Hebrews chapter 11, I'd like to encourage us to think about the words, and if you could listen to the words of our final hymn. It's not a song or a hymn that is well known, but the words, absolutely beautiful, capture the big ideas of Hebrews chapter 11. Let's listen on reflection as we begin to prepare to close today's service to the hymn of faith.